I'm Crystal, pastor here at City Well. My sister just said, oh, surrounding this text, you may have a little PTSD. This is a passage of scripture, and I'm just going to open just like that, people of God, that got me in a little bit of trouble in a not so distant church from here. I'm sure it got the prophet Micah in some trouble as well. So I was in good company. Hear these words from Micah 6, starting at verse 1. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit, you know my angst in preaching this text. Use your vessel. All of her anxiety and fear, all of the boldness, all of the courage that comes from your spirit. For Lord, your people need to hear a word from you, a word that is right now, transformative, not only for them, O God, but for your church and for this world. In Jesus' name, I pray. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So this text has become near and dear to my heart because I preached it before, got into some trouble preaching it. Apparently, I was supposed to talk about justice, but not give any concrete examples of justice. I didn't really know how to do that, so I did what the Lord told me to do, and it got me in some trouble. It's interesting because many of you may know Reverend Dr. William Barber of the Moral Mondays and Repairs of the Breach, and he even came and gave his voice and presence to our own troubles that we were having with our sibling, Samuel. In a class that he was teaching for the Reverend William, homiletician at Turner, William Turner, homiletician at Duke Divinity School, Reverend Barber said that we must exegete the text, tell what is in the text, tell what is in the passage that we are preaching, but you should also exegete the congregation. Know where the people who are sitting in the pews or the chairs are. But The prophetic in our midst exegete the times, such that the people of God who are entrusted with the word of God will act in God's world. So some of you may have been watching ever since 2016. I have really put down my political lens. I can't do it. Many of you may have been watching the impeachment hearings. Our current president is being impeached. He is alleged with a quid pro quo that abused the power of the office of the presidency in an effort to recruit a foreign country to affect the outcome of a U.S. election, as well as subsequently obstructing a congressional investigation into those elections. I got that from the New York Times. So the thing is that for the first time in history, to receive the articles of impeachment, our Senate is not allowing a single witness or a single document to be admitted as evidence. How do you have a trial with no witnesses? How do you have a trial with no evidence? Without needing to bring in all of that political background, Adam Hamilton, who everybody loves to go see the play, but he did some other things. He actually wrote in the Federalist Papers about the Senate and the responsibility of our Senate to be impartial, to be a group of people who will not align with political parties, but who will seek justice, tell the truth. In our text this morning, we are coming upon a prophet, as it were. Micah is prophesying at a time after King Solomon's reign. The land is divided, 10 northern tribes and southern 2 tribes in Judah. Micah is from a small southern territory. He identifies with the poor and the oppressed, but his primary concern is with injustice. Micah 2:2 says, "They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud people of their homes. They rob them of their inheritance." Sounds pretty familiar. Micah's prophecy is a critique for all of Israel, but especially for her rulers, for her prophets and her priests. They are not being honest about what God requires of the people. "Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong." This is Micah 3:9. It's always been interesting to me that folks don't like to talk about religion and politics, and they will say from this very place as a pastor, "I am not supposed to talk about politics." But it seems to me, if you go through the biblical narrative, they were talking about political stuff. What the rulers were doing, how they were coveting land and seizing it. Here in Micah 6, we see a divine court scene. God puts Israel on trial. God is putting Israel on trial and tells Israel to plead her case. God, like a righteous judge, calls witnesses, calls the foundations and the mountains to bear witness for Israel's sins. God asks Israel to remember what he has done for them. "I who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I who, even when someone was to curse you, I had them to bless you." God speaks to Israel, and Israel speaks back to God. Sacrifice is what they want to give God. sacrifice without ethical integrity. Sacrifice without morality. Micah's name in particular means who is like God. Who is like God? This question, this statement, who is like God? Micah proceeds to explain to God's people what it means to be like God, what God's character is like, and what the nature of God's expectations are from Israel, for Israel. Micah 6 and 8, and many of us know it. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Justice, mercy, and humility. This is what God is like, and this is what God requires. So when we think about justice, or this Hebrew word, misfat, equity, righteousness, being impartial, fair, there are many similarities to our world now and to Micah's world. Micah 7 and 3, their hands are skilled to do evil. The officials and the judge ask for a bribe, and the powerful dictate what they desire. Thus, they pervert justice. There was economic injustice, a housing crisis, foreclosures, a recession. There was a widening wealth gap in Micah's day. Here, the prophet of the Lord is speaking to God's people. God is not pleased, and God expects an answer from God's people. This is the part that got me in trouble, y'all. So in 1963, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King wrote in a letter from Birmingham jail, and you may know it, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." We often quote many things from King, the ones that make us feel good. But in a letter from a Birmingham jail, we must remember that King, who is now revered, was in jail for something. King's letter is quoted, but we don't remember that he is writing to pastors who felt that King was unwise to engage in nonviolent protest, that the cause of civil rights and his actions to bring about a more just society using the word of God in the prophetic voice needed to wait. That's what they wanted, him to wait, and some wanted him to stop. I think about this, and without pointing the finger, I ask, how do I engage in the same type of lazy call for justice? We must ask ourselves, who are we when we are faced with injustice? What type of people are we? What type of church are we? Stop fighting for the cause of justice. Stop causing trouble, is what the other pastors told King. We are to love mercy, love kindness. We are to show kindness, this free gift of compassion, forgiveness. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. It is not receiving the punishment or the penalty that we deserve. We have been given this gift by grace, but it also seems that we should extend it to others. That's the part that we have a problem with, extending that same grace to others. Walk humbly with your God. Have a teachable spirit. Being a student of the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit. Last week we talked about following Christ, not getting ahead of him, but going where Christ leads us, walking humbly with God. This message is heavy for me. Being sent to Eastern North Carolina inclined as I am to be honest about what I see is hard, especially when you show up this way. To read Micah, to read many of the prophets, many of the so-called minor prophets, is a fresh wind of the Spirit for me, and it should be for all of us. When folks say that what we are doing as a church, whether it's around immigration or being a diverse church or being affirming to our queer siblings, it seems to me that they want to use certain scriptures, certain portions of scripture to tell us that we're wrong. But when I look through the whole biblical narrative, it seems like God has a propensity towards justice that is outlined in many of those same scriptures. Micah is shedding light and critiquing the people of God, the children of God. This rebuke is not just for them, it's for all of us. Who is like God? Who is like God? That is what Micah's name means. What does God require of you? Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. I pray that as we think about this passage, as we go through our lives, knowing that there will be multiple, many, many, many messages about what it means to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, that we will go to Scripture, to the totality of Scripture, to see what thus saith the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, you are a God of justice, mercy, and love. You choose to walk humbly with us. Let us return the favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.